So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, we just want to talk about the Holy Spirit and spirituality and just kind of continue on that theme of the Holy Spirit. It was rather interesting talking with some of the local pastors in our region and how many of them are doing the exact same thing. They're speaking about the Holy Spirit and that we'd be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in this time. And so kind of a good confirmation that we're in the right direction. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, I want to continue on in that theme of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us. He's wanting to move in our hearts, move in our lives. He's wanting to give us understanding. He wants to help us. He wants to touch us. And we need to have those ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Revelation 3:13 talks about that. With anyone who has ears to hear, so he's talking about everybody that has ears to hear, listen for what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you. And I was thinking this morning when you couldn't read the words of the song that you had to kind of do them by memory. It's also a kind of a time where maybe you needed to be doing some listening and listening to what the Spirit may be saying to you today. And I do sense that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us as individuals. He's wanting to speak to us as a church. And I really believe that God is wanting us to get us ready for what the Holy Spirit is going to do in our land and in our area. As already said, you know, talking with some other pastors, they're feeling along the same lines that God is going to do something big in this area. And other pastors are also sharing about the Holy Spirit. It's also kind of confirmed when Christopher and I were at the conference in Banff a few weeks back. And we kind of had some various prayer times throughout that conference. And one of those that I was praying with this gentleman, he spoke a prophetic word over me. And I'm not going into the whole word, but just one little key part where he was speaking about a church. And he was saying, you know, I see the word addition over your church. And he said, no, that's not right. It's multiplication that's going to come to your church. And we're believing for that. We're believing that God's going to multiply and bring many, many people to Jesus. And it was rather interesting. There was another prayer time, and Christopher happened to be sitting with me that time. And we're having a prayer group, and wouldn't you know it, that person that prayed over me just happened to be in our group again. And he was praying over Christopher and praying over that book that Christopher's just about got finished now. And speaking that that book is going to be a weapon that God is going to use to touch others for Jesus Christ. And, you know, so God is moving. He is, God is speaking. And he's up to something. I remember just a few days after that, when I was back home, and I just felt the presence of God as I woke up in the morning. Just felt that word destiny, 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 and just feeling the Lord saying, your time of fulfilling destiny is at hand. And so I want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I think all of us need to be at that place that we're being sensitive to what Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I realize that many of you have been sensing the Holy Spirit speaking over you. Sometimes it might have been just a word. Maybe it was something else. So maybe God was telling you, you need to tune into this church. You need to watch this service. Or maybe you need to be here in this church here today. It could be something as simple as that. Or maybe God has given you a dream. Maybe God has given you a vision. And I know many of you have had that, and really encourage you to share those. I'd love to hear about them and what God is saying to you and what God is saying even over our church as God speaks to you. And as the Holy Spirit moves, we can expect the Holy Spirit to do things that are in the supernatural realm. And they just start happening when the Holy Spirit starts to move in great ways. You know, some revivals in our indigenous people in northern Quebec. I know where we were, there was a revival in one of the universities. And in that university, they start crying out in repentance. And they start yelling out areas of sin in their life where they begin to confess their sins. And I was kind of thinking about that. What would that be like if all of a sudden in our own church, people start standing to their feet and started confessing their sin openly? Like, that'd be a pretty big deal, wouldn't it? And but that's what was happening in that area down in Florida in that university there. And so God is moving by His Spirit. And I really believe that He's wanting to really speak to us. And so one of the things I wanted to do while on vacation was read another book about revival. And it just happened to be another very long book. They're about 500 pages or more. And that's what I got to do. And just to relax and by the pool while she was baking in the sun. I was reading in the shade and going in the pool from time to time to cool off too. But anyway, just having those opportunities, because I really believe that God is wanting to move, and that even as a pastor, prepare myself for that occasion. And it's interesting when you do talk about revivals, you know, sometimes we think, oh, well, this denomination is better than that denomination, and God moves in this one. God will move in anyone who is hungry. And that's something we need to realize, that if you're hungry for more of God, then you're a candidate for God to move in you. And it was kind of interesting reading in this book about people who are Methodists, people who are Catholic, people who are United, people who are Baptist, people who are from the Alliance, or people who are Mennonites and Pentecostal, that God was moving in different groups of people and touching people. And the key is, are you hungry? I like the story of two Mennonite brethren. And if you're familiar with Mennonite brethren, when they sing, they don't use any music. They don't like having music in their services, so it's just voices. And so very, very conservative. And yet there's some hungry people there. And Holy Spirit began to move among them. And there's two individuals that ended up going to Bible college, started a church, and church was like 35 people. And in a few years, it went to over 1,500 people. And that's what God can do. When Holy Spirit begins to move and we're hungry, God will use us no matter what our background might be. I also found interesting that the founder of the Missionary Alliance denomination was a man who flowed in the gift of healing. And God was using him in Canada to minister to people, and people were being healed. So the Holy Spirit is wanting to move on all people. The Holy Spirit is wanting to move on all of us to draw us closer into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to empower us, to make us strong in the faith. And the Holy Spirit is something we should be welcoming in our lives, not to be afraid of Him. You know, when you read about Him, it talks about that He's our comforter, He's our advocate, He leads us, He guides us, He lives inside of us, He helps us to live the Christian life, He empowers us, He directs us, He anoints us, He gives us gifts to help one another, He teaches us, He reminds us of the promises of God. He's an awesome presence in our lives. He grants us assurance of our salvation. You know, there's just so much the Holy Spirit does and wants to do in our lives. And so this morning, I just want to kind of continue in that theme, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because He really wants to bring out the best in all of us. And He wants to use all of us, not just some people. He wants to use all people. I will pour my Spirit out upon all flesh, on all people. That is His desire. Now, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our lives, He begins to move and empower us to be the best that we can be spiritually. And one of those areas is in the areas of gifts. And just to show you all the gifts the Holy Spirit wants to give you, I'm not going to go into great detail on them. because there's lots of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. But I want to refer to, starting off, first of all, to the 9 spiritual gifts that are mentioned here in the text that we already read. And the Holy Spirit has gifts, has abilities, has anointings that he wants to give to us that can be quite diverse. None of us are going to be the same because he's going to work in ways with our own personalities and nature as well. And here in Corinthians, we have 9 that are referred to. And then later on, there's a few more verses here as well. But just want to quickly go over some of those gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give to his people. And as you read about revivals throughout history, you will see that, you know what? This is true things. This has happened throughout our history, documented, referred to, that these things have taken place throughout history. Now, one of the first one that it gives us is talks about the gift or the ability to give wise advice, more commonly known as the gift of wisdom. This is special wisdom, comes from God, as guidance given to us at a time of need or when important decisions need to be made. It's the mind of Christ for the situation that's being faced. And so again, that can be a wonderful gift where somebody is used of God to speak into your life and give you wisdom about a certain situation that you're going through that is going to help you to be productive and help you to bring success. Then another gift that's mentioned here, the second gift, is the gift or ability to give a message of special knowledge, better known as the gift of knowledge. And this is awareness of facts that were not known previously. So the person does not know you, does not know the situations that you're going through in your life, and yet God is going to speak through you to speak into them and to give them information, give them insight, understanding, direction sometimes, something that's going to help you in your decision-making, and something that's going to help and be an encouraging to you. And so that can be a gift of knowledge that the Holy Spirit can bring in our lives. Third gift that's mentioned here is the gift of great faith, or in other words, the gift of faith. It involves the Holy Spirit inspiring an individual to believe and expect certain things to happen, helping a person to step out in faith, even though in the natural it may not look that this is possible, but with God all things are possible. I was reading a story, and some of you would know this gentleman, and he was needing to step out in faith. He needed $1 million, and of course, he didn't have $1 million, but he happened to go, and this is for the Full Gospel guys that just had a little conference. He went to a Full Gospel event, and there was a man that came up to him and began to say, I need to have lunch with you, and I guess that happened over a number of through the days of that conference, and then finally the person says, I was wanting to get to know you because I felt the Spirit of God tell me I'm supposed to give you $1 million. And some of you know the person actually did that. But again, a gift of faith. Step out. Step out. Even though in the natural it may not look possible, that God is going to come through for you. And this would be present as well for gifts of miracles, for mount-moving faith. Anything that would seem impossible, that God may be using you to speak faith into the life of somebody else. Fourthly, there's a gift of healing, where God gives the ability to bring healing to the human body and mind. This gift is to be extended to people that obviously, well, they need healing in their bodies. And doesn't matter whether it's a believer or whether it's an unbeliever. It just seems that God gives a certain grace at a certain time, and God uses that person, flows through them and touches another individual, and supernaturally they're healed of any area of their body where they're afflicted or broken or sick. And really the purpose of all that is to cause people to see, hey, this thing about God, it's real. It's real. And that's what these gifts do. They bring attention back to Jesus. Number 5 mentioned here is the power to perform miracles, or more commonly known as the gift of miracles. And it can be associated with healings, but we would be more towards the bigger things like the crippled walking or a person being raised from the dead, an intervention that happens and you survive a calamity or whatever. So some gifts of miracles, supernatural events that defy nature. It's another gift that God can give through the Holy Spirit. Number six would be the ability to prophesy, or the gift of prophecy. And this gift reveals the mind of God and often speaks of future, about things that are going to happen, but also can speak about present situations as well. And it can even be associated with preaching, where a special anointing comes on the speaker and they speak the mind of God on a matter through a message. So that's kind of where prophecy is. Seven is the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. We need to remember that, there's an enemy that we fight. There's a spiritual realm that we battle with all the time. And so that discerning comes where we get to discern, is this something where the enemy is coming against me? Is this a God thing? What is going on or what is happening? More commonly known as the gift of discernment. And it helps us to discern identities in the realms of spirits and helps us to recognize whether this is of God or whether this is off the enemy or whether it's off our own flesh and our own mind. And so again, it helps us with recognizing truth. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth, so that he will help us in that area. Number eight is the gift to speak in unknown languages, or more commonly known as the gift of tongues, or sometimes a message in tongues. And this is speaking in a language that you never learned. You don't know that language. You're unfamiliar with that language. And it's usually associated or tied in with a gift of interpretation, where there's a person interpreting what is being said through that gift of tongues. And it's not to be confused with the tongues that can happen when you get filled with the Spirit of God and you have a new prayer language, a new voice to speak. This is more towards a congregational or a group setting where there can be a gift of tongues spoken and then another person that interprets it. And so, again, it's more about a message to the church and a sign to unbelievers that something supernatural is taking place. Then lastly, there's the ability to interpret what is being said when there is a message in tongues. And again, better known as the gift of interpretation. And that's basically making the word that was spoken in tongues become intelligible, understandable, and profitable for all the people that heard that. And Bible says these gifts go out to whoever God gives them to. And so over a body of Christ, there can be different individuals that receive different gifts. And the Bible does say, seek the best gift that is most profitable for the group of people that you're with or for the church that you're in. So those are the main gifts of the Spirit that we refer to as the spiritual gifts or the gifts that are available today, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, however, they are not the only gifts that the Holy Spirit can bring in our lives. Sometimes we just look at those nine gifts and think, oh, those are the spiritual ones, and we're more spiritual if we have those gifts. There are many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives in our lives where he empowers us and he gifts people to do great things. And so, you don't want to get all caught up that you're more spiritual than somebody else if you have a gift and they don't have that gift. God uses us all. We're all to have different gifts and different abilities. He goes on to talk about, well, some might be the hand, some might be the eye, some might be the head, some might be the feet, some might be the body, some might be the air. There's all different parts of the body and that God wants to use us in different ways. And they're all anointed. There's not just one or two, a few that are anointed. And as a body of Christ, we have different gifts. Everybody has a different gift. But together, as we use those gifts collectively, we can accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Some of the descriptions are of other gifts are also found in the chapter that we read in 1 Corinthians 12. And 1 Corinthians 12, 28 talks about these ones. It says, here are some of the parts God has appointed for this church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who help others, those who have a gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. And so you got a number of the nine gifts of the Spirit are mentioned here, but then there's a few more that are added in there as well. Talks about an apostle. Well, the apostles were the 12 appointed by Christ and can be a believer that's been called by Christ, sent to do a special task over the church. Good example of that would be like a pioneer pastor that starts a work, or missionaries that develop churches, or even heads of ministerial groups, or heads over regions where God has given a person special authority in an area or in a region. That can be under that apostle. Teachers are also mentioned, those who teach the word of God by word and by deed. And again, that's a gift that God gives to the body of Christ. Maybe a more common gift that everyone kind of says, oh, so far I'm striking out, Pastor. I'm not hitting with those. Well, it's the gifts of helps. And what's that? Well, it's helping other people. It's volunteering. Being behind the scenes, being the actual worker that does the work in the church. Like when we had that sewer back up, there were some people that had to do some nasty work. And that was a gift of helps that they were able to do those things. Ministering to practical needs. People who see needs and they just do them. No one asks them to do things. They just go ahead and do it because they're watching. They're looking around and just seeing the needs, helping wherever there needs to be help. So that should describe all of us in that one there. Another one that's mentioned here that's not mentioned in the nine gifts is the gift of leadership, or some call it the gift of administration. People gifted by the Holy Spirit to lead, to organize, to direct others in the body of Christ, looking after their business, the functioning of the church, another great gift that is needed. But again, there's more passages. It still talks about that there's gifts that the Holy Spirit can give to us. There's lots of gifts he can give to us. And, you know, maybe we're not going to mention the exact gift maybe that you have, but just so you realize that there's lots of gifts that the Holy Spirit does give to us. Romans 12, another passage of Scripture, verses 6 and 8, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And so I hope you're seeing that the Holy Spirit is giving out lots of gifts that we as the body of Christ can flow in and minister to others and encourage others. And again, a lot of these gifts were already mentioned in the nine gifts of the Spirit, so we'll just concentrate on the ones that weren't mentioned in that. And one of those gifts, the gift of serving, volunteering for others. Again, more of a gift that's behind the scenes, but we need those behind the scenes gifts. Otherwise, a church does not function very well without people that work behind the scenes and do things that no one else sees. They're not up here on the stage. They're not being recognized. But if we didn't have those people, nothing would get done in the church. Thankful for the gift of serving and volunteers. And that's a great gift. Then there's the gift of encouraging, lifting up, building up people. Again, a great and needed gift that we need where we encourage one another, just say things to one another that build them up and encourage them and come alongside somebody that may be going through a trial or a struggle, and you can come along and just speak something that's going to be positive, uplifting, and encouraging to them. Next one is the gift of giving, and that can be a gift. And the Bible says if you got a gift of giving, do it generously, do it happily, do it willingly. Another great thing, if we didn't have people who gave to the church, then our church would close down. We do not make money at the church. It's all by donation. That's the only way that we survive, is by your donation, by your giving, that we keep the lights on, that we pay for everything that happens or the ministries that take place here. It's all done through volunteer givers just like you. And then the last gift that was mentioned here is the gift of kindness. Being kind, caring, loving. Maybe you're here today and you say, I didn't think that was a gift that the Holy Spirit could use. It is a great gift because we need people like that who are kind and talk with others and will help others and just smile at people, be kind to people, be loving towards people. You know, and if you want to go even beyond that, you want to go into the Old Testament, there's some awesome little gifts mentioned there as well. I like the one, the gift of craftsmanship. Exodus 31 talks about that. And verses 2 to 5 says, look, I have specially chosen Bezalel, son of Uriah, grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He's a master at every craft. Well, what is that gift? That gift would really include all the trades that are out there in our society today. God gives you gifts. He helps people do the things that they do. And you can see that when you go into various places of businesses, or you can tell some people that that person got a gift. They're not just doing something. They have a gift. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And so when you think of spiritual gifts, also think of the gifts the Holy Spirit gives. And all gifts of the Holy Spirit are spiritual. They're good for us. They don't make us any better than anybody else, but God uses us in the areas where He can work through us and do great things. All the gifts are needed, and we do need that. I was thinking of a few other gifts that can come to mind. Gift of music. Where would we be if we didn't have music? I'm glad that we have music. I'm glad that we have people that can lead us in worship. And you can think of King David. You remember him as he would go before King Saul, who was tormented by a spirit. And he would go in and start playing his harp. And that would soothe the king, a gift of music. And so thankful for that. And, you know, if you want to think this morning, think of Samson. Great strength. You know, put a beating on the enemy. God can give you that. Maybe some of you are saying, no, I'd like to have that right now, that gift. But lots of different gifts that God can bless us with, and a variety of gifts. And if I haven't mentioned a particular gift that you might have, please don't think that I'm trying to make less of that. I was just trying to show you that there's lots of different gifts that God uses, that God imparts to us, that God blesses us with, and we're to use those gifts for the betterment of the people that we serve and that are around us. And then lastly, as we look at the Holy Spirit and spirituality, we come to the love chapter. I just find how conveniently is placed in between the chapters that talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what it really shows is that this is a true indicator of spirituality. Some people think it's your gift that means you're spiritual. And here's a correction. It's right there in the middle between those two chapters, the love chapter of the Bible. It's rather interesting that this church in Corinth, I was very active and the gifts of the Spirit. So it was a very charismatic, Pentecostal style church, and they're just going wild in their areas of their gifts. But Paul comes along and says, there's some things I need to talk to you about, because there's things that are getting out of hand. And obviously some pride got in there, and began to feel that, oh, well, I'm super spiritual now, and I'm above everybody else because I have this gift, or I can flow in these gifts. And sometimes what happens when people have gifts, if they're not careful, they ignore their character. And character development doesn't happen. And so here the Apostle Paul is coming in and saying, okay, it's great that you have gifts, but there's something that's far more important. It's about your character. Your character needs to match the gift. And so the Apostle Paul addresses this right in the middle of talking about spiritual gifts and focuses on the need of character development and how important that really is. Because true spirituality is going to affect your character, not just your gifts, but it's going to affect your character. And the biggest part it's going to affect is love. If we do not have love, then really we have no spirituality. And our gifts basically are an irritant to people and we don't want that to be so. So it says, true spirituality comes down to love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, it says, if I could speak in all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I'd be nothing. Nothing. And so that's a very clear message of what is true spirituality. True spirituality is not your giftings. It comes down to love and your character. I like what William Seymour said from the Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s. He said, the Pentecostal power, when summed up, is just more of God's love. If it does not bring more love, it's simply counterfeit. Man, I think we could use that today in a lot of things that are happening in our world right now. And lots of examples of people, pastors, spiritual leaders, who have been, I don't know what happened to them, but they've been still flowing in their giftings, but then we find out that, yeah, you left the anointing behind and you were continuing to flow just in your gifting, and they didn't watch their character. And then all of a sudden, there's all these press all about these things where they have failed, and serious business. Your character is serious business, and we need to be careful of that. We need to protect our character, and Holy Spirit wants to help us protect our character, because he doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to fail. And then, you know, as Apostle Paul, he goes on to speak of, well, what is love? Because in our world today, just as it was back then, a lot of people don't understand what real love really is about. And so he goes on to say, well, this is what it is. This is what should be marking your character. Verses 4 and 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And that's a great description of what true love is. And when it comes down to one's spirituality, that's the characteristics that's most important in all of us, that we have love. Love. Love serves as a great reminder that as the Holy Spirit moves on us, that it should affect our inner being, our character, working in us, that we would be those people of love and that we'd be people of character. A true Holy Spirit encounter is going to touch our character, not just our giftings. Another passage that really shows us that truth is Galatians 5, 22, 23. Listen to what it says. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Again, love being first, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. As the Holy Spirit moves in us and we start receiving abilities and giftings and anointings, Let's make sure we welcome the Holy Spirit development of our character as well, because he wants to change our character. He wants to change us that we might be an example for others. And so keep that in mind. And you know, our prayer should be more love, more power, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, Lord, more goodness in me, more gentleness, more self-control, because those are really the true indicators of spirituality. More than your giftings is love. We need to be a people who love. And so this morning, I just kind of hope that maybe that helps you understand a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and how he wants to move in our lives. He moves in many and different ways. And all gifts are important. All gifts are spiritual. Doesn't make you more spiritual than somebody else. It's just God moving in an area of our lives where he helps us to excel. And we should welcome that. Definitely we should. And we should be also willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Come, Holy Spirit. I need your help. I need your help in my character, because there's some things in my life that I need to change. Some things that need to happen in my life. And Holy Spirit wants to do that. He wants to make those help us to make those changes. And as we do that, he keeps us on that right track, that we might be people of faith, of character, true character, that will draw people to Jesus. Because that's what's really important in all of this, that we draw people to Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's work's not just to bless us. Sometimes that's all we're looking for, is another blessing. No, he wants to empower us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to use our lives to draw others to Jesus Christ. And that's what's important. And as we ask Holy Spirit, come move in us, we need you. You ended the, I think you sang it twice last week about we want to move. We want to move with the Holy Spirit to happen. You're singing it. Let's continue not just to sing it, but to declare it and cry out. May we get desperate for more of the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives. Because there's a lot of people that we meet every day. They're needing a word from God. They're needing encouragement. They're needing a touch in their bodies. Man, there's just so many needs that are out there. And God wants to equip you to minister to all those needs that we see out there. And I just want to close here this morning just praying that God would grant us the gifts that are needed for this area, for this body, for this region, that we might see a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you desire to move in each one of us. I thank you that you desire to empower us and equip us with all the things that we need to live a godly life. You want to equip us with all the things that we need to minister to the people who are around us. You want to gift us and help us to minister to the people we have in this church. And that, Lord, that we might be an encouragement one to another. So I pray, Lord, for new gifts, new abilities that will come to each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, you desire to work through each one of us, not just some people, but you desire to work in each and every one of us. And so, Lord, I pray for new giftings of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to start working in our lives. I pray for new changes, character changes, Lord, where people will see that we are people of love. We are people who care about others. We are people who are kind and generous and want to help others genuinely. And I pray, God, use us for the furtherance of your kingdom throughout the land. Lord, you've gifted us. You've called us to go forth and to touch the nations, to touch our world. Lord, in the cities, in the byways, in the countrysides, you've called us to reach out and touch others. So thank you, God, for the gifts that we already have. And I thank you, God, that you will continue to work in those areas of our lives. But Lord, this morning I want to ask along with everybody else here today, I pray for some new gifts. Some new gifts, Lord, where you will empower us to touch our world like it's never been touched before. And so, God, I just pray that in Jesus' name, amen.